A great church is made up of strong Christians and strong Christian families. And that's what you have here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would bless the service tonight in a wonderful way. And Lord, help us to see the need for our churches to grow and to go forward. And Lord, I pray that people will stand upon the word of God. Help us, Lord, tonight in Jesus' name. Lord, if there's one person here that's lost, please help them to see their need for the Lord Jesus Christ tonight in Jesus' name. First of all, I would like to say to you to read God's word. Now, I know by you being here on Sunday night that you probably read God's word. My wife and I have not always been as diligent with that as we should have been. How many are with me tonight? You haven't either, okay? So we've all fallen short in those areas many times. My wife and I read the Bible together every morning, and we try to read it through twice in a year, plus other studies that we do and things that we do. And we have a prayer list, and we go through the prayer list, and we pray. But, you know, the Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Reading the Bible is vital to the Christian life. As we read the Bible, we are supposed to search the scriptures and to set goals and to meditate and to memorize scriptures. It's important that we hide God's word in our heart. For instance, help me tonight, okay? Okay, Psalm 23. You ready? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, you know, as we memorize that verse, and you fellows know it, don't you? You learned it as a child, because you are a child, okay? But when you were a smaller child, you learned it. And, you know, as you get older like me, you have a tendency to forget, right? What's my name? But we do have a tendency to forget things, you know. Matter of fact, my dad gave my sister and I 50 cents each to learn the 100th Psalms. I learned the 100 Psalms, and I knew it backwards and forward. And then when I started trying to say it one time, I found myself getting mixed up. How many know the 100 Psalms? Okay? Help me out. Help me, okay? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye not? He is good. It is he who hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. Now, I didn't really miss that. I was just making sure that you knew it, okay? Psalm 119 and 11, you know, the Bible says that we are to what? Hide. What is it? Hide. I will hide thy word in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. We need to hide the word of God in our hearts, do we not? Well, 119, 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. What is your favorite scripture? Who's got a favorite scripture you'll quote for me tonight? Don't be first. Right back here. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Who else has got one? Somebody over here.
Ephesians 3:8, to me whom the
Said, you're not as old as I am, but you're getting there. It's a really good verse. All right, what is it? Now that's why we need to go over them all the time, and we don't do that. Right back here.
1 Corinthians 15:57-58. The thanks be unto God that giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Therefore, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your
labor
is not in vain.
Amen. All right. All right, somebody else. Oh, Brother Jerry.
John 11:35.
I'm telling you. But you know what? You could take those two words and preach on them all day long. Why did Jesus weep? All right, who's next? Right here. Okay, let's all say it together. You ready? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, 7,500 years ago, just about 90% of the boys and girls in America knew that verse. And now I would say 90% of the kids have never heard it. God help us. All right, who's next? Who's got a verse? This is good. You're smiling. What's your verse?
Isaiah 12:2-3.
Amen. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, where's that found? Philippians 1:6. Right. All right. Who's next? This is good. This is really good. Who's next? You raised your hand. You was coughing, but I okay. Who's next? We're going to take two or three more. Right back here. That doesn't mean that everything is good, but God makes it good, doesn't he? We can count on that. All right, who's next? Two or three more. This young man right back here. Okay, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the... That's another one that I've quoted 1,000 times, but you know, when you get to quoting them, they don't always come. And so, but anyway, okay, maybe one or two more. This is good. This is the way it ought to be. All right, one right back here. Okay, Ephesians 4:32. Okay, thank you so much. That's great. One more.
Psalm 24:1-4. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and excuse me.
You're not nearly as old as I am.
For he hath founded upon the seasons,
Psalm 122, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Okay? But this is so good and so important because, you see, we need to read God's word, and then we need to hide God's word in our hearts that we might not sin against God. Okay, that's very, very important. Don't you think that's important? So first of all, we need to read God's word. Next, we need to pray. Now, I have prayed all of my life. I used to drive down the road going to work praying every morning, and coming home, I'd pray. And, you know, I had things to pray about. I had things and needs in my own heart and own life. And I'd pray for my family and I'd pray for my friends. But prayer, we believe that God hears and answers prayer. There's no doubt about it, right? And so we need to pray for one another. We need to pray for our loved ones. We need to pray for the leaders of our country. Oh, do we need to pray for the leaders of our country? And we need to pray for the nation. We need to pray for the lost. You know, there are people that are lost and they're not saved. They're on their way to hell and they need to get saved. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. God wants everybody to be saved. If you go to hell, you'll be going over the plan of God to save your soul, to give you everlasting life. And so prayer is very, very important. In Evansville, Indiana, we had the Evansville Rescue Mission. Maybe some of you have heard about Pappy Reveal. Pappy Reveal was known for his praying. I mean, he would pray and he would get answers. And one time he was praying at Camp Reveal and he said, Lord, wait just a minute, there's a butterfly. I sure would like to see it. And that butterfly flew over and lit on his hand. And then later on, it just flew on. And one day he had a stack of bills on his desk and he was arguing with the Lord. And that's what he did. That's the way he prayed. He'd tell God off. I mean, he'd say, now, Lord, he said, we've got these stack of bills. He said, Lord, these are not my bills. These are your bills. Lord, you do pay your bills, don't you? Lord, if you don't pay your bills, we're both going to get a black eye. And God sent the money in. I'll tell this one. And back in the 50s, Billy Graham was preaching all over the country in Madison Square Garden and Hollywood, California, and around. Pappy Reveal wrote Billy Graham a letter and said, God told me to have you in Evansville at the Evansville Rescue Mission on such and such a date, and we'll be looking forward to you coming. Well, Billy Graham wrote him back a letter and said, well, Pappy Reveal, I'm so sorry, but I don't feel like the rescue mission would be an appropriate place for us to have a meeting at this time because of all that's going on. And he said, I'm sorry, but we just won't be able to come. Pappy Reveal sat down, wrote him again, said, Billy, of course he was at Bob Jones University at that time. He said, when God told Philip to go out in the desert, he didn't promise him big crowds. He said, now the Lord told me to have you here. Now are you coming or not? Billy Graham wrote him back, said, I'll be there. And of course the streets were full. But you know, we need to pray. And you know, that's one thing that I still have not learned to do the way I want to. Do you feel like you pray right? I don't have the prayer life that I want because there are so many things that I want that I don't have yet. And I don't think I'm praying selfishly. Like, for instance, what I was talking about this morning for Faith Music Missions. I think radio stations all over the country ought to be playing our music. I think, you know, we ought to see a big change in what's going on in our country. And it's going to come about as Christians get on the ball and do something for the cause of Christ. And so sometimes I wonder about my praying if it's what God would want it to be. You had Pray and Hide. You had a Pappy Reveal. You had, of course, John, you know, old Camel Knees. And there was a lot of people that, you know, that just on their knees praying that God would do something. And that's what we need in our churches today. One of the blessings that I had, and I don't know how long you do this. I don't know if you was just doing this for my benefit or what. But when I came in this morning, there's two men back here praying. And then I looked around, there's another couple of men praying. Do y'all do that all the time? You do? And I'm going to go back and I'm going to tell our pastor about that. And then tonight I saw two men back there praying over something. You know what? That's the way it ought to be done. That's exactly the way it should be done. And so thank you so much for the example that you're setting, because when you've got two men standing back there praying and other people coming in and around, they take notice. And maybe a lost person will take notice of that prayer. And, you know, I would encourage you to keep it up and help it to grow. Make it grow. And so pray. Pray. Pray for your church. Pray for your family. Pray for your loved ones. I've got a lot of prayers that I'd like to see God answer about family and friends and different people. And then, number three, church attendance. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling yourselves together as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day is that? I tell you what, he's coming. He's coming. He really is. He's coming. And you know, we are to pray so much the more as we see the day approaching. We need to be a people of prayer. And my prayer for myself is that I will learn to pray more and to pray more effectively, that God would act upon my prayers, because God does answer prayer. You know, it's an amazing thing that churches pray, and they have these little, now lay me down to sleep prayers. Oh, that we would get back to praying. Earnestly, sincerely praying that God would have his will and his way in our lives. And then, number four, give. You know, my wife and I quit tithing over 50 years ago. Amen. And I believe that Brother Jerry Ross quit tithing many, many years ago. You know why? Because you've got a shovel and you shovel it out, and I guarantee you God's got a bigger shovel and he'll shovel it in. You give. You know, the reason I say we quit tithing, we started giving to other things. I mean, we give to the bus ministry. We give to missionaries. We give to the radio station. We give to Faith Music Missions. We give to... Did I say missionaries? We give and we give and we give and we give. And we've been doing that for well over 50 years. And you know what? I have never, ever been sorry of giving anything for the cause of Christ. You know, I'm suspecting that when we get there, you know what we'll say? Well, I wish I'd have done more. I wish I had given more. Because where your treasure is where your heart will be also. And if you get into the spirit of giving, you'll find out that it's good. It'll make you feel better. And, you know, you're going to buy a bus, right? Some of you need to get busy and buy a bus. And you need to do some things, you know. And so give. God's work is to be supported God's way. The Bible teaches us that we should pay the tithe and give offerings. I'm often amazed at the temple. You know, Moses took a free will offering. Remember that? And finally they said, stop, stop. Have you ever said that? You never have? I never have either. Stop, don't bring any more. We've got too much. You know, you'd be surprised at how many millions of dollars that's in this congregation here tonight. And it all works together. It's all giving proportionally together. As every man purposeth in his heart, so let him give. And so you need to support the ministry of the church, support what's going on here, worldwide missions, everything that's going on. Support it. Get behind it. And don't be grudging. Give with a willing heart, not grudgingly, because God loves a cheerful giver. Now, you know, there's a lot of people in the world that they begrudge giving. They give because they feel like they have to. It should never, ever, ever be that way. It's an amazing thing how God blesses and God does things. And then, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Number 5, win the lost. And that's what the business that you're in. That is your business. Now, Brother Jerry Ross, did you know that God has called you to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Did you know that? And he called you to go into all the world. And he called you to go into all the world. And he called you and 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 all of you. Amen. To go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, you know what? If we had that attitude, well, I'm supposed to go into all the world and I'm supposed to preach the gospel to every creature. If we all felt that way, we'd be getting a better job done. I mentioned, I believe, Faye Dodson this morning at Hammond, Indiana. How many know Faye Dodson? Oh, several of you do. I went to school with Faye Dodson. She was a couple of years ahead of me at Drakesboro High School in Muhlenberg County, Kentucky. And she moved to Hammond, Indiana. Her name is Delmer Faye Wilson. Did you know that? You didn't know that? Delmer Faye Wilson. I let the cat out of the bag one time, you know, and nobody up there knew that. But anyway, her life was a mess. Her husband was an alcoholic. They finally got divorced, and then she got remarried later on. And she had, I think, a couple of kids, a couple of boys. And one day, there was a knock on her door. Bus workers. Could your kids ride the bus and go to Sunday school? And they wanted to go, so she allowed them to go. Well, about 2:30, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, she was walking the floor. Boy, she was mad. She was going to tell that bus driver a thing or two, and boy, she was so upset, she was not going to ever let them kids go back to that church ever again. Finally, the bus pulls up, and the kids get off, and they're so excited. They say, Mom, it was great. We had a wonderful time. It's just great, and can we go back again next Sunday? And so she allowed them, but the next Sunday, you know what she said? I'm going with them. I'm going to find out what this is all about. And so she went the next Sunday. She rode the bus with them, and she got so excited about it. And she said to the bus captain, she said, I want a bus. Well, she wasn't even a member of the church, but she wanted a bus. And they finally told her, said, well, why don't you work on our bus, and then when you get it filled up, then maybe we can make you a bus captain. Well, she filled it up right away. And then finally she had another bus following, and when she filled that bus up, she'd get off and get on the other bus and fill it up. And then, of course, she started the Foster Club, helping ladies all over the country to become soul winners. And she has been responsible for leading thousands of people to the Lord. And you know, when Brother Hiles would stand up and say, we're going to have 25,000 in church next Sunday, she thought, where am I going to get 25,000? I've got to do this. She took it personally. She thought she was supposed to go and get all those people to church. Now, you know what? If you took that personally, you'd see a difference in Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Okay? Because you're supposed to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Do you hear me? Well, get busy and do it. You see? Wasn't that plain? Wasn't that simple? I wish I could tell all of you to do that. But kid, you know how kids are. They'll say most anything. But you got to do it. But if we took that attitude, if we felt that way, if we said, man, I've got to work in this church. I've got to help Brother Jerry out. I've got to do what I can do. I've got to do everything that I know how to do. And we've got to fill this place up. We've got to fill our churches up. And we've got to fill our buses up. And we've got to get boys and girls. There are boys and girls all over this place that need to be here.
That's right. Yeah.
So God help us to win the lost. Because there's a lot of lost people out there, and they're hungry, and they're lonely, and they're fearful, and they don't know what to do, and they don't know how, and they need somebody to reach out to them. There may be somebody here tonight, you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior. There may be a little boy, a little girl that's never been saved. You could get saved tonight in this service. Wouldn't it be great if just one sinner came to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight to trust him as personal Savior? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you'll help people to see their need. And Lord, I know that there are people here, Christians, that are backslidden and away from you, and they need to get right. They need to get on fire for God. And Lord, maybe there's someone here that's lost, that's never been saved. Lord, please touch their heart and help them to see their need. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I wonder if there's someone here tonight say, Brother Russ, I'm not sure that if I died today I'd go to heaven, but I am concerned about it. Would you please pray for me? Would you just raise your hand? We're not going to embarrass you. We're not going to point you out. We just want to pray for you. Is there one? Is there one? Generally, in a crowd like this, almost everybody is saved and on the way to heaven on a Sunday night, but you just never know. We're going to stand and we're going to have our song of invitation tonight. Brother Jerry is going to come and lead the invitation, and God help us tonight. Thank you. God bless you.